Because he's alive, I can face tomorrow. Great old song. We're going to be back in Hebrews chapter 11. So good morning. See what God's got for us. Hebrews 11, we'll be looking at probably 8 through 10 only today. Story of Abraham. I wanted to break this up because there's so much in just this short section of verses in our heroes of faith. You know, Abraham was a type of obedient faith. And then we move on to Sarah, which is a impossible faith, if you would, when we get to it. And then we're going to look at Abraham and Isaac, probably in the next few weeks. And that's a sacrificial faith. And these should all be components in every one of our walks with the Lord, not just who we're reading. So we're back to our Hall of Faith heroes. And those of us who remember, you know, heroes, I think they're few and far between these days. Those that are heroes are really not good examples of what we or our children should be following. Heroes used to be Hopalong Cassidy and Roy Rogers and whatnot. And I don't know about you, but you just wanted to be like that person, didn't you? I mean, I had remember the two holsters?
Yeah.
Hopalong Cassidy, the straw hat. I mean, I was Hopalong, and I'm sure some of you were also. That's how we should emulate that we're, you know, the ones that we're reading about in here. It's not just some past old story. It's something that should inspire us. It's something, like we said, at different heroes, baseball players, football players, kids, I want to be just like him. And they strive and strive, and some eventually become. I feel that's what the Holy Spirit is giving us, these examples of faith to inspire us, that these are just men and women, just like us. And because of their obedience, because of their sacrifice, because of the belief in the impossible, they were able to do wonderful things for the Lord. So I hope it inspires me. And then whatever the Lord gives to you in this, that's for you to emulate, if you would. So back to our heroes. And God has been using Hebrews 11 for ages, for centuries, to inspire and to encourage us as believers. And today, like I said, we're going to just look at that picture of Abraham. I'd encourage us to read, instead of me doing, you want me to do like Genesis 11 through 25 first? Because go home this week, read about Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Jacob. It starts in Genesis 11, I believe, somewhere through there, and then it goes through to Genesis 25. Sit down, read them, start to get that saturated into our spirit, and it will make much more sense when we understand who this person is, what he went through, what she went through. So Hebrews 11 is what we're going to do, but Genesis 11 through 25 for this week, if you feel so led. So verses 8 through 10. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after, and again, I always, you know, if you underline your Bible, after is something that definitely needs to be underlined. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed is another one. And he went out not knowing, underline that one, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for his city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Father God, open our ears. Quiet the noise that goes on around us, that we might hear what you're trying to speak to each one of us, personally and corporately as your body, Father. So we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we said Abraham is a picture of obedient faith, hopeful faith, and they do go together. You know, we can hope, but never be obedient. But if we're being obedient, that's almost a proof positive that this hope that lies within us is real, and that's why I am going to do everything humanly possible to follow that. So what an example. I want to look and just see what all of us, myself, and what you can glean from Abraham. So I had said, underlined some things, and I feel there's three major points just in there that will be enough to try to absorb. But he had a faith that when he was called, he obeyed. He just didn't believe. And I know that some of us, as we try to apply it, yeah, I believe God is calling me. I believe God has asked me to do this, but we don't do anything about it. We kind of wait a little bit. And that's our humanness. So we look at Abraham. What can I glean from him? He had, when he was called, when he knew God was speaking to him, and we have, well, how do we know if God is speaking to me? Well, go to the Word, number one. When we hear something and we feel like God is telling us, see and check it out in the Word. Make sure that it exists here, that it's not just in my own opinions. Oh, why don't you pop that guy right in the nose? Go find that one in here. Although I did find that the ringing of the nose let it blood. So, but you know, when you hear pop that guy in the nose, that's not God calling you. That's either myself or the enemy. Go leave that person. Get out of there. You know, let's be honest here. When we hear God's call, I think most of us understand that's something that he really wants. There's not that confusion. So we're going to look at that today about being called and obeying, not just believing. We're going to look at that Abraham went out. Means he immediately moved, not knowing where he was going. And the important part, I feel, is that he didn't receive the promise. Remember verse 8, I said underline after. You don't push the button and get a Coca-Cola before you put the money in, right? We know these sequences, but sometimes we just want God instantly to give us that blessing. And here we look at Abraham, who didn't receive the promise. So we're going to break down those 3 points. Give it a look. On that first one, he had a faith that when he was called, he obeyed. And it made me ask myself, and I hope you do, what is God calling you personally today? Not 20 years ago that we all obeyed that call and got saved, or 30 or 40, or, you know, he told me to make a cake one time and, you know, bring it to Rick. And did you ever get that cake? Come on, Pat. I'm talking about what is God, see, because his mercies, his kindness, his love, it's new every day. We have to stop living in the past. What is God calling us to do today? What is God calling me? And when I look in the mirror, ask, am I being obedient? Nobody else has to know that. Nobody else has to answer for us. But am I being obedient to the call that he's giving to me personally? And then I want to extend that to where, what is God calling this church to do in this town at this time? And are we all being obedient to that call? Every one of us has a gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, you have the greatest gift of all. Then there's the little sprinkles and the cherry and everything else that goes on the Sunday. There might be the gift of music, the gift of teaching, you know, all these other things. But what is God saying as a body here in Nederland, Colorado, for the time that we're in right now? What's he calling us to do? And then again, back that up with, are we being obedient, or are we just tired? Are we just waiting for somebody else to do it? Are we waiting maybe for Billy Graham, who has passed away, because we used to? When is he going to come to Nederland? It's not going to happen. God's calling us to do something special. So I better get going. Put something there. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Never underestimate, in any degree, what God is calling you personally or us to do as a body. Never underestimate it, because the calling and then the obedience to it can have miraculous long-term effects in our obedience to that. So the story I told her about, read Genesis 11. I just love this section. In 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So here's this call. All of a sudden, you know, God's speaking to Abraham. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee." Put this in your cap for today with any of us turning against Israel, our governments, our nation, whatever else. This is a promise that's going to last. And this is where it started. This is where it's going to finish. "But I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Through Jesus, that's us. One call. Look what happened in that. We're sitting here today. We're saved because of the obedience of one man. That's where it all started. I mean, that blew me away. Ephesians 1:18. Probably should read all of it, but 18 says that the eyes of your understanding, that's what's going on inside here. And remember when we had Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our ways, and he'll direct our paths." My understanding questions, my understanding doubts, my understanding starts to scheme and find out what's best for me, what's going to happen if, what about. And what the Holy Spirit is telling us or praying for us is that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of your calling? Well, it's salvation and it's heaven, right? Yes, that's the greatest part of it. But we're still walking and breathing and existing right now in this time frame. What is God calling us? What is the hope of his calling? So it's not just salvation, but I think it's that I might see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, not just pie in the sky someday. Now, that when I pray, I might see that come to pass. When I pray again on it, because I haven't, well, maybe today he'll make that happen. Maybe tomorrow that'll happen. These are the hopes of the callings that we should have in Christ Jesus. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. I want to understand. That's what he's calling us to. It's not some earthly reward right now. It's not just a pat on the back. It's not, you know, no, we've got, I've said this, and I mean, we got the best worship team in any church I've ever been to. Amen. But, you know, if you're calling, if you hope that you're going to fill, you know, Mile High Stadium, if that's what it's called anymore, what is it now? In whatever it is, Folsom Field, wrong. You're here to worship God. Our teaching is here not because we say, "Wow, that guy blows me away, the knowledge he had." No, we're here to worship God. That's what Abraham did. He worshiped God, and he loved him so much. And I mean, everywhere that guy went, he put up, when you read those things, he put up a pile of rocks. He put up a little altar. He put up a little pillar. I wanted to Google, how many did he actually make? He had one everywhere, so that when he got there, he remembered, that's what God did for us. There's where God did this and that. And I feel that that's what we're missing, is that when God called us and we responded, we've lost the hope. We've lost the obedience to that with the future in mind instead of just this present. Ephesians 4, while we're in there. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." You know, when this is said, that was our song today. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. The Word of God says, "Glorify God then with my whole being, everything that I've got." "So I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." What? That's a balance. Axios in the Greek. It's a balance to how we should walk these lives, that we would be not only worshiping God and believing in him, but that we would be obedient, not worried about the reward, let's say, immediately, but that it's coming, and that's what will drive us to that point day by day, with all lowliness and meekness in verse 2, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. I don't know about you, but I just kept hearing God knocking on my head. What's Doug? What's your calling? It's not just this. This is what I do within that calling. There's something else that's going on. You're not just the worship pastor or one of the... There's so much more to our calling. Where's the hope in that? Come on in. Shiloh wanted out of here. Open this door. The hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Wow. So what's the hope of that calling? Abraham was obedient immediately. Just packed up, got his tent going, off he went. We were called in the beginning to leave something. Some of us might now say, well, I haven't been very obedient. I've squandered a lot of years. I've wasted a lot of time. But if you look at Romans 11, 29, it says that the gifts and calling of God are without, they were irrevocable, I think is the word. He doesn't take them back. When he called us, those gifts are there. He's not taking them away. We might have squandered them. We might have let them sit there and go to waste a little bit. But God is ready at any moment. If we'll just be obedient to what he's calling us, those gifts are still there for you and for me. It says he obeyed. That's just one for us to think about obedience the next time you hear his voice. And sometimes it's not about just going out. Sometimes it's just about don't think that. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't look at that. Don't read that. Don't watch that. I mean, these are callings that God is still calling. And years ago, I said, you know, the worst thing that we ever got was call waiting. I used to make fun of Craig because one day I called him. He said, hey, you mind if I just put you on hold for a minute? So when he came back, I said, hey, you mind? I'm going to go make a sandwich. I'll be right back. But we put God on call waiting sometimes. Yeah, I know, I hear you, but not today. He went out, Abraham, went out, boom, got it ready, started moving because he loved the Lord so much. He understood I got something else going on. And I fear that we've lost that vision right there. So he obeyed, not knowing the outcome. Who is this not, what's in it for me? What if I do this and I fall on my face? What if God is telling me to say this to this person and they laugh at me or reject me or throw me out? What? We always look at the benefit for Doug. We're not looking at the benefit in the call that God has, obeying that call, with what this is going to mean in future glory, what it's going to mean to my Lord and Savior. It's always me first in the decisions that I have to make. And I don't see that in Abraham's life. His concern was on the Lord. So obeying, let's look at a couple of obeys. 1 Samuel. You guys are in this, yeah? 1 Samuel 15. Oh, you know, I know I'm not obedient, but. And, you know, then we do all these other things. Listen to the importance of obedience. In 22, and this is a story about God rejecting Saul, and he's going to anoint David and whatnot. But in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. We would much rather, well, you know, gee, Lord, I gave up cigarettes, I gave up women, I gave up drinking, I gave up cussing. We like to sacrifice and think that that is what God is very pleased with. But even though it's Old Testament, I read, no, he's more interested in our obedience than he is my offering on a Sunday morning, a few coins in a plate, let's say, or, gee, I don't do this or I don't do that, but I also don't do what he's telling me to do. This is what I'm seeing from Abraham's life, and the outcome of it is what we've got to keep our eyes on, not the momentary pleasures of this life. Isaiah 1:19. You don't understand, no. And that's what I told the Lord. You're not saying this to me. You don't understand, Lombro. I got a ranch to take care of, a church. I got to study. I got things going. I got grandkids, great-grand. I'm trying. And I use all these excuses in my obedience. But all he asked for in 1:19 is if you be willing and obedient. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Now, the willingness is what's important. And we'll see that with Abraham and Isaac. He was willing to do that. And God sometimes tests us with things that seem so big or out of my control. And all he really wants to do is say, Doug, are you willing to do this for me? But boy, then you take that and you combine it with obedience and watch what God can do. It's no different than what James tells us in James 1, that we should be doers of the word, not just hearers. If all we do is hear the word, we're just like a guy who walks away and, you know, I shaved just half of my face this morning. Oh, I forgot to do the other. Oh, I didn't put on a shirt today. But, you know, that's what God looks at it like, that we don't do what he's asking us to do. So again, I hope this isn't bringing condemnation. I hope it's bringing an awakening, because I started realizing this is to me. That's what you're trying to tell me, Lord. So what we have, he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. We need to know everything, don't we? We need to know where we're going, when we're going, what's going to happen when I get there. We need to know what this one is going to say to me in my relationship, what this one is not going to say to me. We need to know everything in the choices and decisions that we make. And I think that God has a different plan for each and every one of us. The old, what's in it for me, me first. Well, Abraham didn't think about that when he went out not knowing. He didn't receive the promise of the inheritance till after he did everything that God had told him. And like I said, most of us, myself included, we look for instant gratification, don't we? If you put 10 bucks in, you want 12 bucks back. What if I invest this? Well, what if it falls apart? And I prayed. I want instant blessing. We're in this instant gratification, instant blessing society that it's got to happen now. When we look at the faith of Abraham, he saw it way off. Do I see heaven? Do I see that? Which will make me, in this sphere that I'm in right now, be obedient to my God, because he's got something waiting for me. Well, what's that reward? Well, the reward is heaven. We don't have any idea what else is in there. Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. So shouldn't my obedience, shouldn't my not knowing what the outcome is going to be enough to keep me moving in whatever is assailing you right now? Because we all have something different going on. It's health, it's finances, it's marriage, it's relationship, it's work, you know. Shouldn't that future, that city whose maker is God, be enough to keep me fighting through today? And this guy was living in a tent. We're living in luxury. Can't I just start putting up some rocks, even if they're just, you know, in my mind? What God, what has he done to bring every one of us that's in this room today to this point? Even in our disobedience, even in our asking, well, what's going to happen if we try this? What's going to happen if I do that? He had heaven in his sights, whatever was going through his mind. And I know that some of you, if I look, you know, what's the loved ones that have passed? That should be something to keep us going. the fact that our Lord and Savior is going to be, as we heard, well done. Come on in. Isn't that enough to keep us trudging through this? We're going to see again, this isn't our home. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, but no, we're not. We're digging in. We're digging in and we're digging in, and it's not good enough to have just a hole. We want a cushioned line hole with running water in a toilet. You know, I'm not trying to be good. That's what we want. We still want for us where Abraham wanted for God. Now, was the guy perfect? Heck no. He was a liar. Okay, well, you know, no, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Well, there's a reason for that lie, but he was a liar. But the guy still, he never owned a piece of property. The promised land wasn't given to him. He never saw that promise that we started out in of a great nation being created, the stars in the sky, the sands. He never saw any of that, yet he kept on going. And that really, I thought that should inspire me some. Last one, let's go back to Hebrews 10. Just a few verses before what we had today. Hebrews 10. So everything that we just said, to wrap it up, he got called. You and I got called. This church is being called. We're not here just to have a great time with us. We're here maybe, in a sense, to show people that are out there what we found when Christ found us. Amen. To not point a finger, but reach a hand down to help somebody up. The calling in your life, the calling in my life, the calling in this church life, are we going to be obedient to it? Are we going to obey that thing immediately and see what God's got for us and not worry right now about the promise, but know that it's coming, that it is reserved and stored up for us in heaven? Hebrews 10:36, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. I fear a lot of Christians today, we get at the edge of we're just giving up hope. How much more can this go? It can go until God says it's over. Everything that we're seeing, if this is his steps to his return, so be it. Why are we trying to stop something? Why are we trying to fix something? Why are we throwing foam bricks at the TV because of talking heads? You know, this is God's plan in our life. What we have to realize is now, as we're pilgriming through this life, we're almost there. How close was he at times? 25 years this guy walked around not receiving the promise. 25 years. We can't even stand 25 minutes sometime without God coming through. Don't cast away your confidence, I guess is what I'm hearing. God's not done with us yet as a church. God's not done with you individually, personally yet until he brings us home to heaven. Don't throw away the confidence. And I feel that some of us are that close to it. Oh, hey, no, I'm not there. No, we just kind of will meld back into our old ways, will meld back maybe into just not caring as much. Then you watch criticism come in, then you watch griping come in, you watch judgmentalism come in. What the Spirit is saying is don't do it. For in 36, you have need of patience that after, there's that word again, that after you have done the will of God, Abraham, I want you to do this. Okay, I'm going 25 years, but it's after. Don't be the Jacob and Esau. Esau selling the birthright for a morsel of bread and a piece of dunked into the stew stuff. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And that promise, again, is sometimes we're not going to see it on this side of heaven. That promise is heaven. That promises everything that he's got and he's been preparing for over 2,000 years for us. That's that promise. For yet a little while. How long is that? Can I wait 25 more years? I don't think I'm going to be around in 25 years, rapture or not. You know, just longevity. I hope I'm not. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. He's on his way. His plan is coming right to full fruition. I think, like Chuck Smith said it, it's not mine. The curtain is closed. All the props are being set out onto the stage for the final curtain. That curtain's going to be open, and boom, there it is. Now the just shall live by IRAs and good husbands and wives. No. It says that the just will live by faith. We're hearing about faith. This faith is supposed to be an example to us. We're not supposed to be thinking of the outcome of ourselves. What's in this for me? What if I do this? What if I... We're supposed to obey. And that's what it means by living by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. That doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. But we're not going to feel the pleasure of God in those things that we do. Do we remember Chariots of Fire? I feel his pleasure when I'm running. That was a gift that the man had, and he felt God saying, it's good, it's good. You play in worship, it's good. You're fixing somebody's machine that they were ready to throw away, it's good. You put a house fire out. You know, these are things that bring God pleasure. That should be enough for us to keep on going. Don't draw back. And the good part on the pattern, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We all either have right now or will have some choice to make as we walk out of here today pertaining to our call and to some life decisions which will have short or long-term ramifications. Abraham didn't have any short-term event in his life, did he, after 25 years? It was a long-term, and it was much longer because, like I said, here we are today. That promise from God is still being fulfilled, but each one of us starting today will have a choice to make in some area of your life that will have short-term or long-term ramifications. And I know that what I felt last night was I need to make mine in faith in the few short years that I have left, just trying to obey. I believe and I trust, but do I obey? So these next decisions that we get, try it in faith. Try to use the example that we have in front of us of what is possible, because the choices are really just two. Abraham had two choices. He could have stayed exactly where he was and disobeyed, or he could have stepped out in faith. So you and I are making choices as of right this minute, probably some of us. And you have two choices, not four, not five. What's in the best for me? How is this going to happen 5 years from now? You can either stay exactly where we are right now and don't even move, or we can step out in faith, trusting a God that loves us so much that he died on the cross for us, gave his only son for us. How much I can't trust this and move out and see what God can do with my life. That I think each and every one of us really understand. I gave it to him 43 years ago. I made a mess of it. I can't keep going the way I'm going. I need help. I don't need a crutch. I need a body cast. I can't move. I can't go any further. The next decision, if we think that way, it might help us an awful lot. But don't be surprised if you're really looking to be obedient, trusting, and obeying God. Don't be surprised that he might call you and I to give up something that we deem necessary for our security, for my familiar, comfortable life, in order to carry out his plan in my life for just, not just me, but like Abraham, millions, millions. Father God, thank you for your love for us. I think, I pray, Lord, you would move this into each and every one of our hearts. your word is rich and real, alive. These were things that you desired from the very beginning, was not only worship and belief and trust, but obedience. And we don't hear it too much. We don't like it because it runs across the grain of what we feel. So help us to see the joy that comes in obedience. Help us to see, Lord, that what we have ahead of us, the time that we have in eternity with you and loved ones, far outweighs these slight afflictions that beset us today. Thank you for your promise, because that one, eternity with you, is yea and amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kathy's going to bless us with a song today.
Only because you just gave me an exhortation that filled me with fire for faith to do this song. So thank you. I needed what you just said.
Get up there and be obedient.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel a whole lot better.
I feel a whole lot better.